by George Bush Jr.'s grandfather, Prescott Bush. When in 1986, Geronimo's great-grandson demanded the skull's return, the Skull and Bone Society refused.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
I think the role of most of the secret societies like Skull and Bones, they have histories, as I say, in terms of the splits within the class and also class hegemony. I think when you recruit people and you get them to do something illegal, it's similar to what the mafia does to inculcate somebody. The Skull and Bones picks each year have to go and dig someone up out of a grave and commit a criminal act. They're required in their initiation to admit to criminal acts that they've been part of or sexual acts they've been part of. So I think it's more that the class uses these secret groups in order to get loyalty and to control the coming generations and other participants in the class operations, rather than the other way around, that there's 15 people running the world. They do put those people, once they're chosen, into positions of power, and that kind of choosing goes on with or without the secret societies. And you get a concentration of power and decision-making into a very few hands, whether or not they're interrelated that way.
The culture of the secret society would find a parallel in the new intelligence agency. Internally, it was known as the company. Within just a few years, it would become one of the most powerful institutions in the American government. Just as Eisenhower would later warn of the military-industrial complex that he himself had helped to create, Truman would voice alarm over the evolution of the Central Intelligence Agency.
He came to not only regret it, but to speak out about it. In 1963, 30 days to the day after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Truman actually wrote an op-ed that was published in the Washington Post in which he revealed this, and he said, "I never intended for it to become what it has become." And this is very interesting because that op-ed appeared in the early edition of the Washington Post, and then it was excised from all the later editions that day. Alan Dulles, perhaps the most important of the CIA directors, flew out to Independence, Missouri to try to get Truman to retract what he had written, and he refused.
Really is that capitalism made the state in a way a site of struggle between the public and the kind of formal institutions of democracy which legitimized the existence of capitalism and the reality that actually in many ways this was a very undemocratic system that wasn't working in the interests of the majority of the population. So there was this constant tension inherent to capitalism between this hierarchical, centralized, elitist dynamic and this need to legitimize itself and to say, no, but we are free and we are democratic and we do have these formal institutions. So on the one hand, that required this discourse of humanitarian interventionism and doing it for the benefit of the public good. But it also institutionalized this new dynamic where covert action would also be much more kind of interesting as a way of doing things, because again, the public wouldn't be aware of it.
That was just a small little taste from the 5 DVD set. That's right, there's 5 DVDs in this massive collection. It's called Counterintelligence, Shining a Light on Black Operatives. And it features such incredible, wonderful, wonderful folks. Ray McGovern, who's a former CIA analyst, John Judge, who's from the Coalition on Political Assassinations, Russ Baker, the investigative journalist, fantastic journalist, Nafiz Ahmed, the author of The War on Freedom, Bill Christensen as well. He's a former CIA officer himself and another former CIA officer. I love when these guys come out. It's very rare. Robert Steele, John Perkins, as I mentioned before, he's the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We're going to hear from him. He is going to lay it out to you before any politician starts waving the flag and starts saying, you know, we must protect our freedom from this evil country, this evil dictator, blah, 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 blah. Always, always remember, always ask yourself, what do they got? What do they have that a small elite group or an international corporation wants? Do they have a lot of oil? Do they have a lot of gold? Do they have a lot of uranium? Do they have a lot of gas deposits? Do they have a lot of fresh water? What do they have? And then see what they're doing behind the scenes. And John Perkins tells you exactly what they do. When they have somebody in power there, that's actually for the people, by the people, all that other stuff. And speaking of democracy, speaking of what a true democracy is, from my understanding, it's a system of government that's formed not only by, but also for the people. Not for the corporations, not for the little secret societies of skull and bones, not for the little Yale preppy folks, you know, living it up. Not for any of that. Not for the 1%, not for the super elite, but for all of the people. And what do we see right now going on with these elections? We see little weird things going on with the elections. We see very strange things going on with voter purges. 100,000, something was 100,000 voters in New York, in one borough, I think it might have been Brooklyn. 100,000 were purged. This country, you know, there is an opportunity right now. You see a groundswell. You see a groundswell of people stepping out, getting away from their political parties, too, stepping out away from being a diehard Democrat, a diehard Republican, a diehard independent. I have never seen such a swell of enthusiasm for a particular candidate. I have never, ever seen people crossing party lines, dumping their old parties, because they're saying this situation, you know, dark evil and evil light are not a choice. That is not a choice. And I have never seen it happen before. And you know what happens when people wake up and revolutionize their mind and they actually care about their vote and they want to make a change? Do you know what happens? That's when we need to be on our toes, my friends. That's when we need to be at the polls. That's when we need to be watching what's going on. And that's when we need to hold our media accountable. We need to hold the news media accountable. You mean to tell me you're going to send a film crew, you're going to send a media van out there with your reporters and your cameras to cover, you know, 100 people at some kind of speaking engagement for candidate number one, and you got 30 or 50,000 people lining the streets for candidate number two, and you're not even covering it? That tells you something. And KPFK is the only media outlet within your earshot that is going to actually tell you that this stuff is going on, because the corporate media is not going to tell you. They're going to keep lying to you. KPFK is unbeholden to anyone. They're not beholden to GE. They're not beholden to the people that make bombs. They're not beholden to the people who make fortunes off of the oil industry. When we all know that there's alternative things to drive our cars, we all know there's alternative fuels. We are not beholden to any of that. We're only beholden to you, the public. And that is why we need your support. And yes, we would love to see people pledge right today, just like the Bernie Sanders campaign, $27. If I could get every single person that listens to this radio station to pledge $27 and not take a thank you gift at all, but pledge $27, oh my goodness. We wouldn't have to have these fund drives for weeks and weeks. Do you ever wonder, oh my goodness, I tuned into KPFK and they're in a fund drive again. Oh my goodness. And people love to complain about it. But you know what? Thank God that we have to have these fund drives. Because if we didn't, we would have been bought. And if we're bought, we are silenced. We cannot tell you what's going on. Do you think I could play these kind of clips and talk about this? Hell no. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. I tell you what we're going to do. If you would like a thank you gift, if you would like this information, and I think this is probably something that every single American should have. The rest of the world already knows about it, but Americans don't know about it. The DVD set is called Counterintelligence. It's five discs. It is you are allowed to make copies of them and hand them out freely, so don't just sit on this information. Give them to your neighbors. Give them to your folks. 818-985-5735. Your total donation, and remember, a great deal of this is tax deductible, of $250 gets you not one, not two, but five DVDs in the counterintelligence set. You can break it down to $25 a month if you want. Spread it out over 10 months, $25 a month, and we will get you that. We will send that to you with our wonderful appreciation and our heartfelt thanks. But listen, if times, you know, hey, man, if times is tough right now, and I understand it, I work here. We got cut in half. Our salaries got cut in half for several months. Did you know about it? Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. I'm still here. Because this radio station is more important than anything right now, especially with what's happening right now with the elections. If times have been tough, like for you as well, $27. Let's do it. Let's do like the Bernie Sanders campaign. What the heck? $27 pledge. I'm not going to be able to send you anything because my goodness, it's $27 and we need to raise as much money as possible. We need to literally raise so much money. It is unbelievable. But if you can pledge just $27, do it right now. Call 818-985-5735. Don't take anything. Just say, you know what? I'm giving you $27 because I believe in the power of real free media. This is the public airwaves, by the way, folks. These are your airwaves, okay? It's not General Electric's airwaves, okay? It's not Hillary Clinton's airwaves. It's not Donald Trump's airwaves. It's not the Democratic Party and Debbie Wasserman's airwaves. It is your airwaves. And so you better demand the truth, my friends. You better demand accountability. You better ask for a vote count. You better participate because right now, this thing is going off. Look at your social media. You will get an idea. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I do need, though, I need to have at least 10 people calling, taking the Counterintelligence 5 DVD set. $25 a month for 10 months will get you that. I need 10 callers right now. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. If you need to know a little bit more about how it's done, about how our leaders have, and I am talking about all of them, Reagan, Bush Sr., Ford, you know, Carter, Obama, Bush Jr., all of them, if you want to know what they consider the national interest, it's not so much, do you have food to eat? Do you have good, healthy food to eat? Do you have a good job? Is the air healthy? No, that's not really there. That's not so important to them. I want you to know what their what they decide is the national interest. It has very little, if anything, to do with you or your family. This clip you're going to hear from John Perkins, a former economic hitman, and he is going to lay it out for you and tell you exactly what they do. I need one more caller, though, right now. I'm going to hold this clip captive until I get one more phone call. It's almost 6 minutes long. So before I can let this clip roll, I need one more person to call up and pledge support. You will be the, you know, pseudo program director of me today. 818-985-5735. And if there's somebody out there who's an angel and can pledge $1,000 or $5,000, do it now because I can use it in a match and I will try and double your money. So if you call in and you, here, Christine, here's $2,000. Try and make another two so you raise $4,000. Perfect. But you got to do it now because I need time in order to raise the extra money. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, Counterintelligence, the five...
Commander.
Yes, come in, number one. Sit down.
I understand we're under a planetary emergency. Is this about that?
Yes, number one. Central Command at Small World Radio has ordered us to the safest possible location and to begin transmitting the truth to the agents of love around the world. Apparently, everyone is being activated.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, Bathrobe Spears, Broadsides, the July 21st, 2016 edition, with special technical help from Gloria Rovay. Thank you, Gloria. Apologies to listeners for what's going to be a somewhat technically impoverished session. I don't have access to the studio computer because we're having mouse problems here. But I'm going to attempt nonetheless to chatter at you. Hopefully you will chatter at me. And We can talk about recent events, and I can give you some descriptions of local things that have been happening. So don't go away. Stay tuned.
I want you to know, before you leave from home, cigarette ain't too big, man, and you know it ain't too long. Won't you just draw my cigarette, baby? Draw it all night long. Well, just drove my cigarette, baby, until you let my good ashes fall.
And that was Rick Stevens, as distinguished from our normal opening, from his album Blue to the Bone. We listened to Last Cold Turkey, which I guess was an instrumental, and the sexually suggestive Cigarette Blues. So, yes, you are tuned to Free Santa Cruz. Free Radio Santa Cruz. I've been sleeping throughout the afternoon. I'm not quite awake, but hopefully I'll get there. We're at 101.3 FM and freakradio.org for you newcomers. Shows are archived at huffsantacruz.org for at least my show. The name of the show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I focus on local indignities suffered by poor people and the somewhat often pathetic but sometimes heroic efforts of poor people and their allies to change the situation. There is actually a meeting tonight at the City Council chambers, though the City Council itself is in recess until second Tuesday in September. No, in August, sorry. And that's coming around the corner pretty quickly, but not for this month of July. There is, however, a meeting of, I think it's the Planning Commission. I'm not quite sure. But I was sent an agenda by... could have been activist Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, who was concerned with the impact of a proposed, what I would describe as a gentrification program coming up downtown that will rip out blocks on Front Street and build high-rise buildings with some sort of token so-called affordable housing in that that is not really affordable at all. I kind of have a... Anyway, this thing starts at 7, I believe, at City Council Chambers. So if anybody wants to peek in there and hold your nose and take a, well, take a look-see and see what's going on and let us know, the rest of us, I'll be doing a Sunday show. Maybe I can find out more of them. And, of course, I won't be able to tell you what's happening while I'm on the air. And by the time I get off, it may be significantly... if not over, significantly into the subject matter. Affordable housing is a nice phrase, and it's what liberals like to do instead of addressing the real immediate needs of poor people outside, which have to do with, you know, with social services, obviously, shelter, obviously, but also, most obviously, dignity and the right to be left alone, not harassed, not discriminated against. I mean, there's a lot of focus on LGBT stuff and gay stuff, and there's the sort of leftover rhetoric about women's rights, and of course there's a large and I think a well justified concern about the lethal attacks on African Americans, not just by police officers but by an entire system in this country. But you don't hear much around homeless folks except oh no, pee and poo. Oh no, drugs. Oh, we got to do something. They're service resistant. You know, herd them into places, to programs, and or else make sure they don't show up in town. Or if they are in town, drive them out of town. It's not put quite that way. There's nicer rhetoric about that. But for instance, in the Good Times recently, that's the advertising weekly disguised as a music news alternative publication, there was an article called Saving Lighthouse Field. And I don't know if I have it with me, but I remember reading it at the time and feeling pissed and annoyed and angry at it. Because, of course, it said that the problem at Lighthouse Field was the homeless problem, as though the fact that people who have no legal place to sleep, and that's almost every homeless person in town, we're talking 1,000 to 2,000 people, people driven into circumstances in part by rent profiteering done by some of our finer citizens in Santa Cruz and other cities, or cutoffs of social services in different places, you know, or other personal problems. Of course, the bankster crisis that happened some time ago with foreclosures. There are all kinds of reasons people get homeless. And the notion that it's somehow okay to treat them like creatures lower than dogs. I mean, dogs in Santa Cruz get a very good rap. It's there are, I'm sure, more animal hospitals than there are hospitals for human beings in Santa Cruz. And, of course, there's more money spent on pets and animals than on poor people who are outside or struggling to avoid being outside. And that's a shot in the dark to some extent, but I wouldn't be surprised if it were true. Anyway, the article Saving Lighthouse Field has a lot of masked bigotry. I think I may have mentioned it in a previous show. It's there's a response to it in this week's, I think it's this week's Good Times. Yeah, July 20th through 26th, so it would be this week's, in which there's a, what seems to be a sympathetic letter criticizing the Lighthouse Field article by Michael Donnelly, which is a familiar-sounding name. Could have been a fellow from the Occupy movement, I'm not sure. But unfortunately, he goes on about affordable housing and how we must be compassionate and look for affordable housing for people, and not just shelters, but affordable housing. My problem with affordable housing has always been that the real issue for people, as I've said, prior to the millennium, is what do you do with folks tonight? And the answer is the best thing to do, well, if you can, you know, supplying blankets and, you know, agitating for opening up empty buildings is a good thing to do. And groups in different cities have done that at different times, and hopefully we'll do that here. But in the meantime, you leave them alone. You don't send out Parks and Rec rangers dressed up in new white coats up and down Pacific Avenue to harass them, first alarm security guards with pseudo-friendly smiles on their faces, or police officers heavily armed walking up and down the streets downtown as a sort of a de facto merchant goon squad patrol. You don't do that. But, of course, Santa Cruz does do that. And that really is what needs to be addressed. As far as Lighthouse Field goes, the real issue, of course, is the fact that people are being driven out of other places. The much larger Poganip area, San Lorenzo Park, both of them pretty large areas, scattered places around the city by vigilante groups and by the police and the Parks and Rec Rangers and First Alarm Security, and sort of a coordinated effort between the police department and certain really bigoted neighborhood vigilante associations, such as the Santa Cruz Neighbors, or the Downtown Neighbors, or Take Back Santa Cruz, who want to eliminate, quote, the homeless problem in their areas. This is sort of like in the 30s, they talked about the Jewish question in Germany. They didn't talk about eliminating them, Jews. They talked about how they were just a problem. They were a burden. Now, it was the rhetoric against Jews was, of course, far more upfront and toxic. But it's similar in various respects to homeless folks. They're dirty, needle-using, drug-addicted bums. For the Jews, it was, of course, they were the grasping types and clannish and slimy and salacious and lecherous. I mean, there were all kinds of anti-Semitic terms applied to Jews. But you see a similar situation magnified also against immigrants as well, falsely holding immigrants responsible for the crime problem. And to some extent, not entirely falsely, pointing out that jobs are taken by immigrants, often those that will not be taken by non-immigrants. But indeed, the flight of jobs and the arrival of people from different countries has made it harder for people, along with, of course, the economic crunch. In Santa Cruz, though, my focus has been on restoring a sense of sanity and dignity to the whole dialogue, or at least relevance to the whole dialogue around homeless folks. Anyway, yeah, that's a little bit of the evening preaching. Check out the City Council at 7 if you want to see what they're planning to do with the entire Front Street area, tearing out shops and places there, and putting in large high-rise corporate stuff. I don't know how high-rise in Santa Cruz is high-rise, but higher-rise, if you will. One of the groups fighting this, of course, is the Freedom Sleepers, which I've been supporting for a year now and been even a part of, and actually am facing the need to do community service for, because I was ticketed for essentially reporting from the area at night inside the forbidden City Council courtyard area, which is, you would have thought, the government area, which is the most protected under the First Amendment. And actually, it's, of course, excluded from the First Amendment at night, or at least after 10 o'clock. But the Freedom Sleepers continue to be on the edges of that area. Mostly they are not there, though some folks do sleep inside the courtyard anyway. Sometimes when it's raining, you sleep under the eaves of the buildings, whether the police come or not, particularly since it's not clear how many of the infraction citations, infraction being the lowest kind of citation, is followed up on by police. And in some cases, homeless folks just have no choice anyway, so they take the tickets and go back to sleep or move around the corner and try to do that there after having been harassed and harassed and put through the grilling process, and sometimes have their property confiscated, sometimes taken to jail for a couple of hours, even though that's not supposed to happen with infraction citations. But, for example, it did yesterday with, not yesterday, a few days ago with Lucero Luna. We're going to hear her report. She's a frequent Freedom Sleeper who was protesting on Pacific Avenue. I believe it was on Tuesday, day before yesterday. And again, I saw her yesterday on Pacific Avenue, Wednesday, doing some more protesting by lying down, not blocking the sidewalk, but either sitting near a building or lying down near a building in a way that says about the ordinances, which do not allow you to sit almost anywhere on Pacific Avenue on the sidewalk, even though the sidewalks are very broad. Anyway, the Freedom Sleepers are challenging the ordinance that makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, cover up with blankets, or set up a structure of any kind, protective gear, for the intention of remaining overnight. And they do this. They set up gear, they go to sleep, and they intend to remain overnight every Tuesday night, and they have since last July. And police have given them almost zero tickets for that behavior. And so homeless people have come to that spot and make up a majority of the folks who are out there, if not the overwhelming majority. And for one night a week, homeless folks get a, I wouldn't say disturbance-free sleep, because various things can happen there. Police do march on through and harass and so forth. Less so than they used to, though. Although this doesn't really mean a hell of a lot for the majority of homeless people, because there's only usually about a dozen to 20 or 25 folks there. But anyway, I go down there and I interview folks to get some indication of what's going on, as all you regular listeners well know. And I'm going to play some of those interviews now. So hold on to your seatbelts and have a listen. Also, if you want to call in because you have breaking news about something you think that needs to be on the air, and please, I'd love to hear some breaking news. I haven't heard virtually any breaking news since we picked up the studio almost a month ago now. The number is 427-3772, 427-3772, and you will be on the air, able to talk about what you've seen, what you want to report, and also any reaction you may have to anything I've said or any of the interviews I've done. So 427-3772 is the number to call.
Any hassles from police, security guards, other thugs?
No.
And are there rangers up walking up?
So I'm down here at the Freedom Sleepout 54, not interviewing some folks, but I am learning from two witnesses that there was a loitering ticket, or at least that's how it was described by the police, according to the two witnesses, in front of the Cafe Pergolesi to a tourist from Virginia, as I understand.
Virginia Beach.
Tourist Bureau. The Tourist Bureau. And what was the reaction of this guy?
He was outraged.
And how many police were involved?
I don't know. I bet they're just... After he was talking, yelling across the street to his friends and told him what happened.
Wow. So you didn't see it. You heard an account.
Yeah, I heard the account from the horse's mouth.
And that was the one of the horses here, actually.
9:30 this morning.
At 9:30 a.m. today, Tuesday. And you saw this yourself, Blue?
Not Blue.
Not Blue anymore.
No.
What are you?
I am a person.
A person. So a person, you... How much of it did you see?
Most of it. For me, I wanted to...
He saw most of it.
I wanted to yell at the own officer and tell him you have no right to do it.
Damn right. So, do you know the name of the officer?
No.
And was there much of a crowd cheering on the officer or vice versa?
Yeah, the other way around.
Good, good. Weird. Or actually...
And I apologize for the very low volume of the folks I'm getting the information from, but they did not want to be interviewed, so I was intentionally simply trying to relay what they were saying. And in some cases, they were, you know, being relayed directly, but they knew what I was doing. There was no secrecy involved there. It's just rather inaudible at points, and I got what details I could, and we'll continue with that now.
Actually typical, really.
Teddy bear number one.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I like those teddy bears. So I was, at some point in the future, we'll be interviewing both a person, if he chooses to be interviewed, and a Monterey Jack, who's come down from San Francisco, but at the moment is sort of surveying the scene, and he's a figure on the radio, if I understand properly.
No, in the music industry.
He's in the music industry, I'm sorry.
Producer.
There's a
producer of
Jazz events, which he may in fact be involved in helping with an event to fund the underfunded Freedom Sleepers.
Yes.
So,
yay!
And at some point we may actually get a direct interview, but we'll leave it there for the moment, because the Freedom Sleepers today looks like it has... So we have two guys here, Dreamcatcher and... No, what's your name, artist?
My name's, they call me Pilot in the Coast Guard, but my name's Mikey.
Mikey?
Another
yeah.
Mike, huh? Yeah.
That's
207.
That's right. We got M.O. and the other Mike here. And you're creating some more art here, or at least doing some fill-in that you can...
I'm doing shading, and I'm trying to practice my shading and my blending.
So you're coloring in a rather intricate
quite an intricate
picture
book,
of an owl with a bunch of flowers around it. Her, perhaps.
The blue to darker blue and lighter blue and purple to oranges and browns.
Now, what did the police take from you?
All my art supplies. All my art supplies that I sleep, and that was all rummaged through. I don't have any of the proper stuff that I needed for it.
So, but you're pretty sure it was taken by authorities rather than by scavenger?
Absolutely.
So if that was the case... And you present maybe your papers from the arrest. Did you do that? The papers, for the arrest, for the warrant. Did you have that?
Anyway,
I'm just thinking that could have been...
I don't want to harp on
past problems.
I think what they're doing in a lot of areas of town is completely wrong. I don't think anybody's really a bad person. like, I just want to make that pretty clear, though. Like, you know, like, I actually respect law enforcement. I just think they've bought a lot of people, they've gotten way out of line in certain areas.
At least.
It's just it's a little scary and intimidating when they drive around the block 5 times and I have to see them 5 times in 30-minute period. That borderline harassment. I mean, I think that is harassment, actually. I think anybody would consider that harassment if I'm walking down the street and I have to see them 5 times circling around me while I walk down the street. That's horrible. I feel like that's not making me want to do anything good. That's just causing me to be scared. And that's all I am, is terrified. You know, I see them and I'm scared. I used to see police officers when I was a child and think, wow, you know, there's a guy who, you know, who defends us and takes care of us. And now I just see them as bullies. I just see them as bullies. They just want to hurt us and just want to put us in jail.
You see them clearly now.
Yeah, I do. Very clearly.
Mythology's gone. The reality has invaded. Well, Art on, and we've been talking with again.
Michael.
Anything you want to add, Michael?
The people of Santa Cruz are just such really great, peaceful people. And I remember when I left, it was all about brotherly love. Yeah, I know that's Philadelphia. But Santa Cruz had that title as well.
This year. Philadelphia is a Democratic convention.
But we were all about taking care of each other. And it seems to me that a lot of the things that the cops are doing and the intimidation that they're bringing on us is stunting us from being able to be those loving, caring people that we always once were. And I would love to see us back to that stage of caring and taking care of each other, helping each other, because now people, they just have to be greedy, and they have to do it because that's the only way they can take care of themselves, is to be greedy and to be selfish, and that's not Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is about helping each other in peace, love, and harmony, and I would love to see that back.
Thank you, Mike. Let me know, Dreamcatcher, if you want to speak at any point. Dreamcatcher also has stuff taken, and thinks he may get it back on Thursday.
In any case, let's hear more from last Sunday. Huck on the main, molded in Gaza moons. Gotta get down to it, settlements taking our town. Should have stopped long ago. What if you knew us and saw them blow up our homes? How can you run?
Dave Lippmann, More Dead and Gaza Moans, about the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. And looking through some of the newspapers that I brought along, actually today's Sent Anal, as I call the Santa Cruz Sentinel, has a long editorial, Clean Up Lighthouse Field, Please. And, of course, they are talking about it as a camping spot for transients, and a place to do illegal drugs, dump garbage, and strew litter. And, of course, These issues could be sanely resolved by establishing, at least on a temporary basis, campgrounds or safe sleeping zones or places where people could go where there was actually garbage pickup services, where there were trash cans, porta potties, you know, I mean, all the finer things that middle class people expect. And they could even be paid for. You know, fees could be paid for that. But even such, well, you would think reasonable, if minuscule, proposals as Brent Adams' sanctuary camp or sanctuary village are, either they kind of rouse a bit of public support among the more charitable in the community, and sometimes I think the more naive, they don't get anywhere with the West Side bigots who run the city council and the staff of the city that runs the city council behind the scenes. Actually, not that far behind the scenes. Pretty clear from council meetings what staff wants, generally, staff gets. So this idea of blaming homeless people for problems in Lighthouse Field because they are there camping and doing the thing usually campers need to do, which is shit and piss and sleep there. The solutions suggested are to allow off-log dogs at Lighthouse Field. Have more bicyclists and folks checking out butterflies and other wildlife to discourage the homeless people. The notion being that if you're going to have Gestapo snitches from the neighborhood running around, there'll be less folks there, and that will discourage people. I think that's what I draw from this. Maybe they just mean the mere presence of poor people around will make it more difficult to sleep, except people aren't usually chasing butterflies late at night when exhausted homeless people look for a place to sleep. And, again, as I said, a lot of this stems from homeless people having being driven away from other areas, their vehicles having been confiscated, making it illegal to park their vehicles in the all kinds of places throughout the city. In none of the city parking lots downtown is it even allowed to sit in your vehicle at all, unless you are parking or retrieving it or walking directly through. You can do that with a vehicle, and you can do that with yourself. But otherwise, it's technically illegal. And the police, of course, can't possibly enforce this on a regular basis. But it's a perfect opportunity to go after anybody they feel like going after. Or more important, responding to bigoted complaints from businesses, residents, wandering vigilantes. Let's continue listening to more interviews from the last Freedom Sleep Out. These are actually in the early part, late afternoon, early evening. I didn't stay for the night. I did stay the week, 2 weeks before, but I pled, I don't want to say age, it's not really age, to some extent there's a medical issue, but it's really, part of it is that I feel there are other things I need to be doing, preparing for a Huff meeting the next day, writing up reports on what's going down. There was actually a report that I didn't write up that was about Lucero Luna, and I still haven't written that report up. I'm going to make it here. Actually, she's going to make her own report on Free Radio. As I mentioned before, she was busted for lying on the sidewalk in a protest downtown with her and the sleeping band sign. See, Black Lives Matter, if you do it in numbers, you can get away with it. If you do it as a single person, woe betide you. And Black Lives Matter isn't getting away with it either, as this growing attack response to Black Lives Matter protests throughout the country, or at least in, I don't know actually how widespread it is, or maybe some cities are welcoming the Black Lives Matter protests. But what you hear about on Democracy Now, well, you hear about the arrests of the Black Lives Matter. There was some reports of that this morning on Democracy Now, and I wish I could bring this up on the computer. But as I've mentioned to you before, this computer is not accessible to me right now because we have computer problems, which, again, makes me remind you that we need techies to join the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective or offer to make their skills available. So if you're interested in helping Free Radio Santa Cruz, you like what you hear or you think it's promising, or you yourself want to be a part of the Free Radio Collective, and that's not hard to do, give a call to 423-4833. That's my off-air number, and I'll kind of nudge you in the right direction. Or just, if you want a more direct approach, you just go online to freakradio.org, freakradio.org. Download an application. You can learn more about the station. Here's some archives of different shows. See a schedule of our shows and so on. And we are still looking for a transmitter site as well. We found a studio, but we've been looking for a transmitter site for 2.5 years because the generous person who has let us use the place that person lives at is being constantly threatened with foreclosure. And I don't know how that person is able to do it, but it's been fended off year after year. But that can't be forever, so we need to have options if you're going to be hearing this over the air. So let's hear a little more of Freedom Sleep Out 54, and maybe a call from you at 427-3772.
Looks like chowing down here.
You got a quarter on you?
Yeah.
May I get it, please? I'll give it back to you when I get my check out of my...
What are you going to do with a quarter?
Put it in the machine over there.
For what?
One of the meters.
Very well. On your...
No, don't worry. Don't worry.
I do worry about it.
Well, your good deed earned you at least a nickel. Let me find you another nickel to add to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we don't want you to get a ticket. We ain't paying attention.
Thank you so much.
And here we have a woman.
And what this helpful freedom sleeper was doing was feeding a meter for one of the Food Not Bombs workers who was providing food at the Freedom Sleep Out. And there was there's a new volunteer there, Stephanie, who's worked almost 3 days continuously for Food Not Bombs, which serves on Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 6, right outside the main post office. And also was serving food at the Freedom Sleep Out on Tuesday.
We just interviewed. Sure. I played your interview on Free Radio. We're talking
with... Cool. Stephanie White.
And Stephanie, what is this weird-looking concoction you're pushing here at the table?
We have bean soup. This is, I was told, onions and tomatoes and something.
It's a brown look to it. I won't speculate on exactly what...
I wasn't here during the cooking process. And then we have some fruit chutney.
Yes, chutney.
Which is... It's all delicious.
You've tried it all?
Yes.
Yes.
You are you winking at me, Stephanie?
Yeah, I didn't have any. But I've heard reviews and they're all... They've all been
How's
great.
The food? Any good?
Terrific.
He likes it? Yeah, all right. There's a satisfied customer.
Yeah.
My bueno. How long have you been out here today, Steph?
Oh, just since 5.
It's now about 6:30.
Yeah, only an hour and a half.
And anything interesting happened? I see the Food Not Bombs table is set up. And this food is from the Food Not Bombs preparers?
Yes. They cooked it right here on this homemade system.
A big wok here.
A big wok rigged up by this really ingenious
system. Was Keith here before?
No, he's not here today, but Sea Otter did the cooking.
Sea Otter, the famous Sea Otter.
Yeah.
And I see somebody else in a Food Not Bombs outfit who I think I recognize
Max.
From out of town. Yep, that could be Max. He's giving me the salute, but not wearing his customary military apparel, apparently.
Just got done some cooking, and I'm now trying the food.
He's now sampling his, perhaps his concoction, perhaps
it's Sea Otter.
Sea Otter's concoction. So this is going to be, this will be your third Food Not Bombs outing?
Yeah, you're right on it. Yep.
Saturday, Sunday, and now Tuesday.
Yeah, yes, yep.
You getting tired yet?
No, I love being here. It's really, feels good.
You seen anything in the course of these 3 days that struck you as worth mentioning?
that serving food brings out kindness and great gratitude in people, and it's a wonderful way to connect.
It can also be a way to humiliate people if you're a religious organization or a social service organization. Depends on how you do it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Food Not Bombs does a good job with creating a space where people feel safe to be themselves.
Yeah. And also they are preparing the cooking of the food, too.
Help me get my sleeping bag in my car.
And we've been talking with?
Stephanie White.
Yeah,
thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, you can drive me to watch my bike.
I know that. So, here's a satisfied customer. What's your name, sir?
Rafael Saldano.
And Señor Saldano, ¿qué piensas de esta comida?
Esta comida está hecha con amor. It's made it with love. Very good.
And are you planning to stay the night?
I think so. If there's any room, yes.
There's always room on the sidewalk for one more. I won't be, but others will be, so.
Yeah, I'll try to be tonight here.
Cool. And you seem to be appreciating the food. You're eating it at a relatively fast clip.
Yeah, especially when can you not support food, you know? No money, like anything like the people make for us is like welcome. Always we receive it with love.
Is this your first time here at Food Not Bomb? I mean at the Freedom Sleepers?
No, almost every week I'm here.
Any hassles, tickets, problems?
No, I'm being good. No problems at all now.
You're sleeping illegally after 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I do, but I try to, like, get out early, you know, before the police surprise me.
Cool. And we've been talking with
Rafael Saldana.
Gracias, Rafael.
Hello.
Hey, Zav.
Hello.
With
Maxwell Green.
And Max, you have been munching the food. You've taken off your Food Not Bombs cooking apron, though. Does this mean you're abandoning your chef's role, or do you have a chef's role?
No, just a mere assistant, and I just decided, since I'm sitting down, I might as well just take my apron off because there's nothing more really to do at the moment.
And you came all the way over here from Monterey today.
Yes, as always.
And you were here last week.
Actually, last week I wasn't.
I was wondering. The Huff meeting wondered where you were.
Well, I was taking a week off.
Aha! Okay, well, that's fine. You actually, there was a competition for your most traveled to come to the Freedom Sleeper area, length of, you know, most distant area, because Monterey Jack, who's got his name from Monterey, but he came from San Francisco today, so.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I'll think of something witty.
You'd better. I mean, this is getting extremely tedious, just sitting here waiting for... No, it's fine. I appreciate you giving me, you're answering my inquiries, and I'm passing on what's really going on. You know, you're here for the night. A number of folks are here with you. It seems very pleasant here today.
Yep.
Don't see a lot of local homeless people. A few. There's Bob, although I don't know if he might stay the night. Dreamcatcher is here. Mike is here, the other Mike whose property was confiscated by police. Blue, whatever he calls himself now, is here.
Blue, what can you do?
Indeed. And, of course, Zav, and I'm not sure Stephanie's staying the night, but Zav is...
Zav the Zouav.
He is probably likely to stay the night.
He's so tough, I bet he probably would do just that.
Well, when the going gets tough, the tough spend the night.
Well put.
Indeed. Anything happened in Monterey or the area that's happened last week that strikes you?
I'm trying to think. Well, we had the Black and Brown Lives like rally in Seaside.
How did that go? When was that? And so forth.
I'm trying to remember the exact date. I have it on my calendar. It was like about a week ago or so, I believe. I would have had to have been on I think it was on a Wednesday. Yeah, I think it was this past Wednesday. Because
after the police murders up in Minnesota and down in Louisiana.
That's correct. And they did a march. They were feisty but obedient. Everybody had signs. They marched through the streets. A lot of interesting sources came out. They had the one or two city council members, dignitaries, and a few.
Really? City council members were out there, too?
Yeah. Tim Barrett was there, and
politicians making some hay, so to speak.
Yeah, and what's her name? Jane Parker, county supervisor.
They, of course, moved to immediately fire all abusive police officers in Seaside, Monterey, and so forth.
Well, yeah, hubba. But there was even really great was, at the end of it, the police showed up and tried to use it as a publicity stunt.
What did they do there?
They passed out badges and really? Little fucking, excuse my language, yeah, little tchotchka things.
Tchotchka?
Yeah, little tiny badges, little tiny mint containers, which you could tell them, say, why can't you just throw the mints out so we can use it to keep the ganja or something?
So this was their attempt to pacify the population. I don't know. Has there been much?
And then try to give some sort of, sweet blow in the sunshine speech about, they hate this happens and that, we're so happy you guys are peaceful. And, we do think, these lives matter, yada, yada.
Yeah. Well, police departments will be police departments, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And those that want to get more PR will show up with little PR devices. So, thank you, Max. Anything you want to add before I...
And it was the 1 year, I believe 2 days before that, the 1 year, actually sadly 2 years now, anniversary of Frank Alvarado, who was shot in Salinas.
That's true. I actually interviewed him when he was here in Santa Cruz before he was killed. And we had a protest here in front of the bookshop Coonerty, also known as the bookshop Santa Cruz, when the chief of police from Salinas spoke there and was pushing his book.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
and he was there was concern about not just the murder of Frank Alvarado, but the shooting of other people by the Salinas police force. So, okay, we've been talking with
Maxwell Green.
Thanks, Max.
Come back home to die.
my children's mother would. How my children's mother would. How my children's mother would cry so many nights by the fireside. How my children's mother would cry. Cause I told my mother I had to say goodbye.
That was another one by Rick Stevens, Blue to the Bone, Fixin' to Die. Of course, you're still tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, and the phone number here is still 427-3772. Here's a story from about a week or two ago. El Segundo looks to crack down on overnight RV parking. Seems to be a sickness everywhere. RV parked along Anderson Drive in San Rafael, California. That's just north of San Francisco. There's a picture of a motorhome, small motorhome. And the San Rafael City Council is discussing a new ordinance banning parking RVs on public San Rafael streets. That was a measure introduced by Rochelle Noroyan here in Santa Cruz, at the behest of her bigot buddies on the west side. I think that's... I'm not quite sure where Pamela Comstock, the co-founder of Take Back Santa Cruz, lives. Let's say in the neighborhoods where apparently the only people allowed in the neighborhoods are those who have a certain look to them and a residence to return to and the proper papers, you know, that sort of thing. It's a growing fascistization of Santa Cruz. And yes, I call it a fascistization because these folks work with the police to criminalize and exclude a class of people. And in order to facilitate doing this and to create laws that help doing this, they vilify them. They stigmatize them. They misrepresent and smear them as criminals. Citing their criminal record of so many tickets and so much police attention having to be given to them, not mentioning the fact that the tickets are things like sleeping after 11 o'clock at night, being in a park after dark, smoking in a no-smoking area. And there's a much larger percentage of smokers among the homeless population than among the housed population. Folks find some way to deal with the stress and pain of being outside and taking all this shit from the NIMBY, not in my backyard, folks who are more interested in the property values than they are in decent human relations and respecting other people and their situation. But in any case, this story from El Segundo, which I guess is a suburb of San Rafael. I lived up there for a decade and went to San Rafael frequently. Never heard of El Segundo. You know, I've heard of San Anselmo. I've heard of Fairfax. I've heard of Sausalito. I never heard of El Segundo. But In any case, here's how it reads. Even the mostly commercial city of El Segundo is seeing an uptick in homeless people living in RVs, especially in Smoky Hollow, a once industrial district now flooded with creative offices. Ah, the attack of the yuppie professionals. Throughout the week, El Segundo's population swells to more than 70,000, mostly professionals by day, and dips to about 16,500 residents by night. That's quite a shift from 70,000 to 16,000. And now a new population has moved into the largely commercial city, or perhaps they've been there all along, Mr. Newspaper Man. For the past year, complaints have been pouring in about RVs. I like that, pouring in. Trailers and campers taking up parking for days on city streets, hooking up electrical cords to homes, sucking up power and creating trip hazards, and making it difficult for drivers who must inch far out into intersections to see around the oversized vehicles. Have you ever heard of any of this happening in Santa Cruz in terms of seeing it yourself or hearing it from someone you trust? Yes, we had a band of bigots who came to city council to cheer on Rochelle Noroyan's attempt to ban RVs, which is coming up, by the way, before the Coastal Commission on August 10th, the somewhat watered-down version of their ban, because it would prevent coastal access, and so it couldn't be done in its full, toxic, horrendous splendor 24 hours a day. Nor could it even be done at nighttime from 8 to 8. It's now going to be from, I think it's 12 to 5 or 12 to 6 at night in Santa Cruz. That's August 10th. There'll be a meeting of the Coastal Commission up at the, in the Scotts Valley at the Marriott up there. I think there's a Marriott up there. Maybe it's the Holiday Inn. Maybe it's the Hilton. I'm not sure which of those, if any of those actually exist up there. It was one of the three, I think. They're considering my appeal, which was joined in by others, to block this legislation, this ban on people being able to park the vehicles that they require for survival at night in the city. And the only thing that's really stopping it right now is the Coastal Commission's refusal to... it's slowness in granting a permit, and it's the staff's concern that the Coastal Commission would not grant a permit to the original proposal of much longer hours. It still means that at night, those with RVs are going to have to run out of the city somewhere else. This happened in the 70s in the Scott Creek Bluff exclusion that happened. If for those who have very long memories or listen to my shows for long periods of time, or if you've been a regular listener for decades, you'll have heard activist Tom Noddy, who was involved in this whole thing back in 1978, or activist Linda LeMaster, who also was, discuss the massive increase in ticketing of people who live in their vehicles. It happened in 75, 76, and 77 in Santa Cruz, culminating in 78 with the sleeping ban, complete ban on homeless people sleeping in their vehicles or sleeping on any public property outside. But what happened was the vehicles were driven out of town, they were forced to leave town, and they settled in a place called Scott Creek Bluff, which is north of Davenport. And there's no road up to that bluff now, but there used to be. And there were about, 10 or 15, maybe 20 vehicles up there. And the sheriff came and hauled them all away. And the community took the community of vehicle dwellers took a stand, and they went and they occupied the county building, saying, we'll give you back your county building when you give us back our vehicles. And then they were tried in the longest misdemeanor trial in Santa Cruz history, according to then-attorney Ray Glock Grunike, who defended them. And the jury, even though they acknowledged, yes, we trespassed on this property, yes, we were technically illegal, it refused to convict because it heard about the real needs of these people. And it suddenly decided that the human needs of these folks was more important or were more important than the technical ability of the prosecution, the lawyers, and the sheriffs to run them off based upon their class preferences, I guess you'd call it, using the law as their excuse. See a lot of this in Santa Cruz, and I've seen a lot of it since. Anyway, continuing with the El Segundo story up in San Rafael, this notion that these complaints are pouring in, we heard the same talk about RVs in Santa Cruz. But when I talked to the chief of police on the evening that this was voted on, he admitted to me that there was no real record of a series of meaningful violations. I mean, there were some, but there was nothing. There wasn't anything that indicated. There were no stats that showed a pouring in of trip hazards, blocking it. There was a very flashy display by the neighbors, a video display at Santa Cruz City Council of this. This vehicle is blocking the view. You have to go around the vehicle in order to get to the stop sign and so forth and see what's happening there and see the intersection. But it wasn't indicated how frequently this happened or if any accidents had actually occurred as a consequence of it or how frequently the so-called dumping happened that was the original pretext that this thing came to the Public Works and Transportation Commission under, then headed by that same bounteous bigot, Rochelle Noroyan. And sorry, Rochelle, that's really how I see you on this issue. No question about it. More from this article about the San Rafael, El Segundo area up north. City staff, which has begun studying the prevalence of the problem in the community, they're studying it, is exploring whether to update a 1967 ordinance that set the parking limit for oversized vehicles on public streets to 48 hours. I think in Santa Cruz it was 72 until the new law was passed, which was a zero tolerance for after midnight. And it hasn't yet gone into effect because, as I said, the Coastal Commission has yet to rule on it. And I guess the reason they want the Coastal... I mean, they could have the entire rest of the city other than the Coastal Commission section. It could be banning the vehicles at night. And they're already setting up a... they have a second piece of legislation which instructs the city engineer along certain specific roads to be expanded at his wish, at his discretion, to eliminate all oversized parking places. So there will be no legal place for a parking for an oversized vehicle to park except some, I don't know, state park somewhere if you can pay to get one open, if you can find one open, and so forth. You won't be able to take up two parking places. Curtis Relaford's Follow Your Heart double-long trailer will be illegal everywhere in Santa Cruz, both because, well... if you could find a place to park, it would be legal except at night, during the midnight hours. But because it'll be illegal to take up, even if you pay for two parking places, it'll be illegal. It's a way of really eliminating... folks like Curtis Relaford's living area and their social justice work. It's... the main thing is, of course, it's also being done without meaningful justification or public debate or real discussion of the issue based upon real facts. Instead, it's simply special interest legislation by people who are concerned about the removal of a class of people from their town, not just in RVs, but camping as well. Although you will hear Pamela Comstock piously state she's not against people sleeping at night. She just votes for laws that criminalize that action and more money for the police and rangers that enforce those laws. Mayor Suzanne Fuentes of El Segundo says in the last 6 to 8 months, it's become an even bigger problem. Again, no figures. The El Segundo Police Department cracked down on the problem on Imperial Avenue in recent months, Fuente said, but the campers just moved elsewhere. The problem isn't just Smoky Hollow, an industrial district north of the Chevron refinery that has been transforming into a hub of creative offices and studios. You note, the gentrification of the area means the elimination of poorer people, but has spread to residential neighborhoods. I get complaints and calls often from residents and businesses in town, and I've had residents asking me to tour Smoky Hollow. And one day we drove by 12 or 15 RVs and campers with people living in them by. I wonder why that would be. Once the study is finished, in coming months we'll go before the city council, which could consider imposing restrictions on the hardest hit areas or requiring RV owners to get permits park overnight, which is the case in Santa Cruz, with the one little proviso, of course, that if you're a homeless person, you can't get a permit, even if you're willing to pay for it. We have the same phenomenon with people who go to the airport and leave their cars on our streets and take taxis over because they can park on our streets for free, Fuentes said, suggesting people could be parking them to avoid paying at campgrounds, and of course ignoring the fact that maybe they can't afford to do that on a nightly basis because that's where they live. Fuente said she is not sure if the influx of people living in RVs correlates with growing homelessness in Los Angeles County, though she acknowledged El Segundo's small homeless population has been on the rise. It's not a crime to be homeless, and our officers go out and offer services, she said. In most cases, those individuals haven't been interested. So we have three lies in one sentence or two sentences. It's not a crime to be homeless. Yes, it is. Not specifically, but in terms of all the behaviors you have to do as a homeless person. Smoke, well, if you're a smoker, sleep, use the bathroom, park your vehicle, use the public spaces. These become the basis for targeting you for your appearance. Our officers go out and offer services. Nah, they don't. They have little cards that indicate numbers you can call where there are no services, or services have long waiting lists, or the shelters are full. In most cases, these individuals haven't been interested. This might be a half-truth. It may be because the services they know are non-existent. They say, you know, take your lies down the road. And I also note that because they're referring to Los Angeles in this article, I guess they're throwing in San Rafael. El Segundo is a city in Southern California. I mean, I always thought that was the case. And I thought, well, maybe there's a different little suburb up in Northern California or near San Rafael. But now they just tossed in San Rafael for some reason as a... They were looking desperately to find a picture of an RV van that they could, you know, illustrate this, quote, problem with. And even this picture shows no problem. It shows an RV van parked with two cars on a street, you know. Legally, not blocking traffic. You know, it's longer than a single passenger car, about the size of two passenger cars. But this kind of attack is something that we're seeing here. And I think one way that has been proposed to address it, and this was at the Huff meeting by one of a new Huff member who showed up yesterday. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. He suggested that what we need to do is present videos that expose the mythology that Santa Cruz is this laid-back, hippy-dippy, tolerant community, which actually is something that Take Back Santa Cruz might want to coordinate with us on. Because the city council, in spite of its following creating repressive legislation and starting to talk about phony public safety concerns, is actually relies upon the reputation of Santa Cruz as a progressive community to draw in people from other places as tourists, which is, of course, the main attraction, aside from the university. Let's go musical, and I'll be back, and I'll remind you once more that we have an idle phone line at 427-3772. And in fact, before the music, let's hear a little more from the Freedom Sleep Out, because we want some of these voices to get out before I get too old.
So I'm down here at the Freedom Sleepout 54, not interviewing some folks, but I am learning from two witnesses that there was a loitering ticket, or at least that's how...
Sorry about that, folks. Let's leap ahead. We heard that one.
I'm talking with PJ, who tells me it's not much new that he's seen, but he's still wearing his two buttons. Genital cutting is not a parental right, so no more of this circumcision stuff.
Yeah.
And then California for Bernie president. Or is this going to be another one of those anyone but Trump approaches?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're not going to vote for Jill Stein? Or
not for Hillary, no. Probably this year I would not even vote. The first time in many years I would not go to them.
That's a way of saying something, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not real politics. Even if Bernie gets elected, it's just like going to be like they did to Obama. You cannot do anything. I mean, like, no matter the so-called more powerful man in the world, doesn't have really strings to pull. Everybody had expectations that with a black president and a black... but many people.
Yeah.
They had expectations that with a black president and a black Secretary of Justice, there will be some justice for black people. Look what times.
No, of course not.
Look at what kind of summer we are living.
Condoleezza Rice was a black woman, so fucking what? You know, I mean,
yeah.
The general, what's his name?
And Cosby was Cosby, and now he's going to go on trial. We probably will see Obama put on trial before George Bush get on trial. That's a chuggle.
Put them in the dock together is what I say. But what's happening with the Bernie movement in Santa Cruz? Are they turning? They've all decided to come and help the Freedom Sleepers? Because you're here. I mean.
No, they're pretty neutral. That is scary, too. They seem to be just like bandwagon on like some hype, but they don't pay attention to all the things and freedoms for everybody, not just for the middle class.
I mean, you remember there was this line that ran all the way from one bridge to the other to get into the Bernie schmoozerama.
Where are they? Yeah. Where are the supporters of freedoms, not just for the middle class? They're defending just their own class. They don't think for everybody else. It should be how is it fair for everybody, right?
Yeah. And where are you from yourself, PJ?
I'm from the East Coast. I grew up in Europe.
Where in Europe?
In South France.
And any comments on what's going on in France these days?
No, yeah, there is.
Have I hit a nerve here?
So much to say, and then it's about the same, and it's just like another entitlement, like England, to be participating in the Crusades again. I mean, it's just, it's the middle.
A war on terror, is what you're saying?
The war on terror is just war on people. I mean, they kill more regular civilians than terrorists or...
Yeah, but it has a nice purpose, because then this allows the nationalist movements in different countries and the fundamentalist movements to recruit more people that they can call terrorists.
Yeah.
And then that allows for larger police departments and military in the countries that are fighting them. That's good.
Nationalism,
you know, more security for everyone.
It's the same like in Israel. Nationalism, I mean, it is a thing of the 19th century or the early 20th century. No. We are in the 21st century, and it doesn't look like it has changed anything.
It's gotten worse, anyways.
Yeah, nationalism, you know, the church of nationalism in German is Nazi. No matter who's carrying the flag or which country is doing it.
So what do you notice in Santa Cruz? How long have you lived here yourself?
Like a year.
And what do you see happening here or not happening here?
Like, it looks like a civilized country, but this is like an extension of plantation rules and plantation laws. And this is not the South. This is the West. It's just like people are like taking off rights, or like many things are like cut, trimmed from the people. Less freedoms. No, there's freedom of speech, many freedoms cut. I think it's not just here in California, Santa Cruz is overall in the country, but it's quite striking for California, as liberal as it used to be, and being the vanguard of many things, being in the West.
I didn't ask the police.
It's like, it's just a weather, it's a climate of the West, but with a mentality of the East Coast. I mean, at least the people who want to grab the leadership, they want to turn this into some Midwest or somewhere else. California wasn't like
gated communities.
Yeah, California wasn't meant to be this way.
Wealthier people don't want poorer people lingering on the sidewalk.
Well, this is not Brazil. I don't know what they're expecting. I mean,
they're expecting all people who drive RVs to drive them out of town at night. They're expecting people who are homeless.
Well, they do that in Brazil. This is the United States. They should not be.
Brazil, they use a quicker approach.
They murder kids in the streets that the police drive by. They shoot the orphan kids in the streets.
It's a population control.
And they get immunity. Yeah, it's like completely Comanche territory. I mean, like it's completely like Wild West. Is this civilized part of the country turning into a kind of frontier county?
Well, I remind you that the frontier was where they murdered the Indians rather than the cowboys and Indians stories you see on.
Now they're murdering the rest of the locals, no? Yeah. Now there is no Indians, but they need to murder somebody.
Well, you know, as the Fuhrer said, you need an enemy to proceed. That mobilizes the country together.
Oh, yeah.
It draws, as Donald Trump well knows, and Hillary Clinton as well. And we've been talking with
PJ.
Anything you want to add, PJ?
I hope the country holds together, because if we go in more wars, they're going to just finish with whatever was left of infrastructure and money for the rest of the people below the high class. Everybody either the uniform in prison or the uniform in the military.
Hey,
like the judges used to do. You want to serve in jail or you want to serve the nation in uniform? Get killed in the, somewhere else.
Kill or get killed.
Yeah.
Lock them up or be the jailer.
Yeah.
Or get locked up.
Yeah.
Thank you, PJ.
All right. You know, it's just like a plantation. You cannot make the people as slaves, but then you give them two choices. That is almost like
the same thing.
Yeah.
There she is.
This morning, you know, just about a half past four, hesitating blues was knocking on my door. Tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you right now, baby? Or do I have to hesitate? Well, you know, I ain't never been to heaven, but I've been told that the angels toss St. Peter how to do the jelly roll. Tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you now, baby? Or do I have to hesitate? Well, you know, a lake filled with whiskey, and I was a duck. I'd swim to the bottom. I'd never come up. Tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you now? Lordy, must I hesitate? I ain't no doctor's son, but I can be your doctor, honey, till your doctor come. Tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you right now? Lord, must I hesitate? Well, you know, know, I got hesitating shoes. I got me some hesitating stocking. Got me a good hesitating woman. She do my hesitating rocking. Tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you now, Lordy, must I hesitate? Hesitating, starting, goddamn hesitating shoes. God knows I got them old hesitation blues. Tell me how long, or do I have to wait? Can I get you right now, darling, or do I have to hesitate? Can I get you now, Lordy, must I hesitate?
Okay, that is like, so I'm being shown Lucero being handcuffed by a police officer. She's a freedom sleeper. It looks like at least three officers down on Pacific Avenue. George, what did you see? You're showing me, but what happened?
I was walking from Cafe Pergolesi to the bookstore, and
what's happening here is that activist George has arrived with a video on his phone of Lucero Luna earlier that day being arrested by police, four police officers handcuffed and put into a squad car, apparently, and I learned later, for being lying on the sidewalk near the Forever 21 area, which is, as I said, a very broad sidewalk. If you're lying on the sidewalk, you're not obstructing traffic, you're not creating a trip and fall hazard, you're just not respecting the heavy restrictions on First Amendment activity that the City Council has decided it wants to impose and hopes everybody will sedulously follow or fearfully follow or obediently follow.
I heard a woman yelling at the cops, and then there got further along and there were four cops there with Lucero handcuffed and being arrested. And they picked her up and they picked up her protest signs, the Freedom Sleeper protest signs that she was carrying.
Oh, really? How many of those signs were there?
I saw two. Pictures of that, too. No, that's not it.
Cutting off the supply of signs, eh?
Well, no, those are sleeping materials, according to the police, not freedom of speech materials.
She was threatening to go to sleep, 7 hours later at 11 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, this is at 4 in the afternoon, so I guess she was threatening to... I have no idea what she was doing, because I didn't get there in time, and I didn't... I didn't interfere with the officers.
And you didn't interview the witnesses, George. Shame on you. But I'm glad you got some nice photos here.
There's that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four cops and Lucero, probably charged with resisting arrest, no doubt.
As well as whatever the original crime was.
Another thing, if you had...
And I don't think she was charged with resisting arrest. At least she showed me her citations the next day, and that wasn't part of it. And I want to be fully candid here. I talked to Sergeant Bush, who... he may have been present for that, or I think Lieutenant Barry was around there or something, but he was not a person I talked to or enjoy talking to, for that matter, at least not recently. But Bush seemed to be concerned, or at least he expressed the concern that he didn't want Lucero to go to jail, and she had said she was going to, you know, protest and go to jail and so forth, and this was the day following what you're listening to now at the Freedom Sleepout, which is describing an incident that happened earlier in that afternoon. But it's often hard to separate the PR from the the candor or the accuracy of a police officer's statement, because they aren't so much an objective, dispassionate source, though that's the mythology that some people have still, and that we're trained to have when we are kids, when we look at the police. I want to be a policeman. I think I wanted to be a policeman when I was a kid, too. But actually, they are charged with a mission, and that mission has to do with following the law as interpreted by merchants and people of property and class. That's just what they do. That's their job. They're, as has been stated recently and frequently by Black Lives Matter and other groups, they are the descendants of the slave catchers. That is to say, their institution comes from slave catcher activity and slave catcher institutions. In this case, the poor are the slaves.
I happen upon that, George, is to ask not the police officer but the victim, what's the charge? And what's your name? You know Lucero, so you don't have to do that. But and then she says, I don't know. You tell him, ask the police officer. And then, because that's one thing. Although, you know, it does make you vulnerable. And if you're, you know, not exactly interested.
I could be charged with interfering in an officer.
Unlikely, but possible, yeah.
I certainly can be threatened with it.
Oh, yeah. You can threaten. You pull out your camera and you start taking pictures.
Yeah.
And they really hit the fan, but they don't know what to do because...
Actually, the one officer said, oh, you need to take a picture... when I was taking a picture of the sign, so he sort of cooperated when I was taking a picture of the Freedom Suite.
Are you going to post those pictures?
Yeah, I probably will tomorrow morning.
I hope you do. Lucero, is there...
If we can, like, you and I can get the facts or write-up, because I don't even know how to spell her name.
I'm going to be going home shortly. Yeah,
I could email you the pictures if you want to write it out.
We can do that, although I'm not very good at posting pictures. If you send them to me, yeah, I'm pretty horrible at it.
Oh, well,
send me the photos, and I guess I can talk to you about it on the phone, or else I can talk to you and I can write something up and send that account to you.
Yeah.
Also, you can simply post the photos and say, people should be aware a Freedom Sleeper was arrested today downtown.
Yeah,
I have no new information.
Yeah,
but
let me just get the correct spelling of her name.
All right. We'll give it to you.
If you know it.
I do.
You do.
I think I do. Okay.
And unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet, but maybe it will. The place I often post my stuff, my announcements, for example, of the Freedom Sleepouts, and I've been doing this week after week for quite a while, is on the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. So you might browse for Santa Cruz Indie Media, and you'll find at least some descriptions of the Freedom Sleepers and what's happening, and maybe the latest... on Pacific Avenue, for instance, the adventures of Alex Skelton and Joff Jones can be found there. I keep forgetting to get down to the courthouse to find out just when their court date is next month, but these are two artists who have been repeatedly arrested for being outside the blue brass boxes, which are now riveted into the sidewalk on Pacific Avenue to make sure that the artists don't stray into the commercial areas. And no, there aren't supposed to be commercial areas on the sidewalk, but in fact the sidewalks are now largely commercial thoroughfares that have nothing to do with their previous tax-supported nature as being public and community walkways. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Call a number here, 427-3772. I'm Robert Norris. Name of the show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. We talk about poor people in Santa Cruz, bad laws, and other such like stuff. Here's a little more from Pacific Avenue, which I was strolling the same day as the Freedom Sleepout on Tuesday. That was the day before yesterday.
guitar.
I'm so embarrassed and ashamed now that I messed it up.
No, that's not you. That's all me.
No, I'm afraid it was me.
It's all me. No, it's me.
I think it was actually me. I showed up.
Robert Norris. Blame it on Robert Norris.
Luke. Nice to meet you.
So Tessa has joined the two, making it a trio of, what's your name, musician?
Forky Ravioli.
And Forky, and you are?
Big Bear.
And you are?
Tessa.
All right, this should be very good. I'm expecting high quality music here.
Man, you have good luck always, man.
Pleasure.
Beautiful brother, man. Love you, man. It was something, man.
Thank you.
You were so great, man.
Thank you. I am the greatest, you know.
I is the greatest.
You are the greatest.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Porky.
I'll be Mr. Ravioli to you.
Oh, sorry about that. So I have to ask you, Porky, were you earlier here playing around 4 o'clock up the street by any chance?
That's me.
No. One of our freedom sleepers was arrested, and I'm trying to gather information about the arrest.
You mean he was arrested after the fact?
I was arrested at 4 o'clock today on the street in front of Forever 21, I'm told. I don't know. It's a mystery to me. Yeah.
Let me pay some attention to this girl.
Please.
I'm Ivia. I also chill making music. So. Yeah, this is something I wrote. Yes, give us a listen. Open and I'm waiting all night. Oh, it's open just as long as I'm here. So come on in, give me those, raise my tears. Oh, it's sunny time and warm delight. All I fear is that passing.
Tessa's a real singer.
Hey, Tessa. Name of that song is?
Whatever you'd like to call it.
Thank you.
See ya.
So we're talking with
Mama V. Promise.
So you have snuck out the back door and you will not be running for the shitty council.
No, won't be. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be shitty if I were on it, see?
I'd
be de-shittifying it.
That would be a hard job.
Right. But you know what? I was interested. I sent you an email about this. I was wondering about the configuration of the city government and this business about the city manager. Like, who is this guy and what does he do?
He was appointed by the city council, and he really is the power in the city. He's the person who runs things. Martin Bernal is his name.
Right, so I'm trying to understand why there's a structure like this, and it doesn't seem like the people who are making the laws are really getting paid the amount of money they should for giving them professional attention.
Actually, so they should be fined rather than paid, in my view.
The idea is to
create a professional government that is nonpartisan. Hence, they hire a city manager. The impact, however, is to institutionalize somebody who's unaccountable.
So that's what I would like to do, is make him more accountable and more transparent, because...
Are you ready to go to jail?
Why would I go to jail? I just want information.
Have you been to jail for justice?
No, I'm not.
Ouch, that's my favorite ear. Hey, I'm attached to that ear.
He knows how to hit it. That was right on it.
hush.
Are you ready to go to jail? Oh, damn it. That
and I don't see that being necessary at this point. I'm looking, gathering information at this point, and at this point I would say that...
And I'm giving you that information.
Okay, so I would say the next step is to make him accountable, because we can't
access... How are you
going to
do that?
Make a new law. I'm asking you. You're the expert. I have great ideas,
but you have to destroy the power structure that he gets his power from. That's what you need to do, which is a very big job.
Mm-hmm.
But once you spread a religious message throughout the community, that we are all one.
Okay, but look, this is not making sense to me, how there can be a government of a few people who just kind of drop in and make laws. They just have a few conversations like it's a cocktail party, and they say, okay, best we can do, we're out of here, we got other jobs
you
to go to.
You simply don't understand the way our society works, Val.
But they're not being encouraged to take it seriously. How can they do a professional job making laws on a schedule and a non-salary like that? That's absurd.
Well, the whole system is already in place. They don't need, really, to make any new laws. They simply allow things to continue in the juggernaut fashion it is.
Well, how do I make a change and get the city council members paid more and get them to guarantee you to spend a certain number of hours discussing and academically
research? That effect necessarily.
I guess I'd like to change the job description, because it doesn't seem like they do proper research.
A hanging or two might be helpful here.
No, it might take until the next city council election to get the quality people in there, because these are people who signed on with the job description being what it is. So we have to, like, grandfather them out.
Well, I'm going to leave it at prayer. Now, wait a minute. Do you have a permit for that sign?
I just told me I'm moving when I home.
Are you in the blue box?
I'm walking.
There's no blue boxes here.
That's right there. This is the perimeter, I think.
That is.
And just a kind of a comment on Mama Val's... she had earlier announced she was running for city council, and now apparently is... not, but is interested in finding some ways of piercing through this fog and this confusion and this seemingly very irrational system that we have. It's actually very unrepresentative, of course, and penalizes poor people very strongly and has nothing to do with even the will of the majority of the community. And so that, I was kind of, you know, giving sort of offhand poo-pooing reactions to the notion, oh, we just will run for city council and we'll create a slate and, you know, we'll have a council majority and we'll change things. And that's the standard belief of people who run for city council, even such experienced worthies as Steve Plaich, who, of all the candidates in the last few years, pretty much has the least toxic program, although... Plaich is interested in manipulating levers of power, which for those who believe that power comes out of the barrel of a hierarchy is good. But I'm not one of those folks. I think that's a bad power to be involved in, and it's a corrupting power, and it's also a power that will eat you up rather than vice versa. You cannot really effectively change it as an individual. You have to have masses of people. You have to have an independent staff. You have to have... I mean, that's assuming you want to... you think that somehow establishing an alternate power structure, which is also hierarchical, you know, one person represents a bunch of other people and has the power to make changes that they don't, you think that's a good idea. Let's hear some more, and... you can always call in, dare I suggest it, 427-3772.
It's the blue handicap parking lot.
Ah, dude, grandparents, I get to be a little bit walking around free from this.
In front of Bunny's Shoes and Shoe Fetish, Shoeland City, actually, here. And we have two gentlemen, one with a free prayer song, sign, the other with a free prayer sign.
Yeah.
So what kind of prayer are you prepared to give me free?
Well, you want me to pray for you right now?
I don't know. Do you want to pray for me right now?
I would like to pray for you right now.
Better to pray for me than pray on me.
I believe in that with some faith right there. And I'm going to pray for Robert Norris, because Robert Norris has been handling this for a long time, doing a job that not everybody...
Working hard, getting nowhere.
No, not everybody understands, but there, yeah, someone does understand exactly what you've been through.
She does, I know, but she doesn't do shit about it. It's a sad situation.
It's a sad situation. But if I can, I just want to pray that you keep doing the work, because I believe it's a very good, noble cause. Robin Norris, and I should
be,
I should be able to pray anywhere I want for anybody with any kind of sign that I want, right?
You can pray, but you better not sit down, okay, son?
Yeah.
On a bench, perhaps, but for no more than an hour, okay?
Is that a new one?
That is an old one. 2003.
I want to pray for a sanctuary camp in Santa Cruz more than anything.
It doesn't exist.
I know. It doesn't, but it needs to. It needs to, certainly. And
well, there is
a
sanctuary for the well to do.
I want to pray that we can free ourselves of this trimmigrant policy that they do, where they just bash on the newcomers and coming through, and they don't.
There's no room for these new people unless they have money, of course.
You know what though? But like a camp doesn't cost much money, and I mean
it's going to attract the rabble and the riffraff.
But Robert,
like this guy here. I mean, look at this man.
So I'm going to pray that everybody could just understand that it's in our best interest to have this, one way or another. And maybe they need to tuck it out of sight a little bit somewhere. But believe me, with people have a roof over their head. They're well fed. They're so much better at getting better.
We have social service programs that are prepared to help anybody who needs help.
Man,
it's available for everyone.
I'm going to pray that they eliminate the paperwork in those processes. I'm going to pray that it's really as accessible as they like it to be. I want to pray that those people, that they can just, you know, get these services that are supposedly, that it doesn't just become a money sink like a lot of nonprofits do.
Well, I acknowledge your prayer. We've been listening to the prayers of
Soup.
And, of course, his associate
Theophilus. Yeah, we just witnessed some amazing stuff. We were praying with this one gentleman, Juan. He had a cane, and he was having pain all throughout his right leg. We asked him, like, on a level of 1 to 10 where his pain was at. And he said it was at a 10. And we prayed, and then he said there was no pain in his leg. I pray in Jesus' name. Soup's all about just the good vibes, God.
I got to come from where I come from. I'm not against Jesus, and I won't deny that. And I'll use the name if that helps with the sentiment. But I believe in universal. I believe in universal love, and that it's that there's only one universal permeating force of love through all things. And I do believe that energetically we can tap into that, and that faith can, you know, belief and power of that is strong.
We're going to leave it there before I become even more queasy than I am now.
Again,
we've been talking with
Theophilus.
And with, of course,
I pray that you know, get some good soup in you.
Thank you, soup.
All right.
Guitar.
And who says we don't have a little religion on this show every so often, or in town anyway? We can remember the glorious days of Rabbi Chaim Levin, and of course before that, healers wandering about town and interviewed by me, some of whom were very concerned about the nature of the homeless or the position of people who are outside and criminalized. And that's good. I don't care if you have a cloth or a crucifix or a cross or, you know, crescent, and cover your head and that sort of thing. I don't believe any of that horse shit, frankly. But if you do, that's up to you. And if you're out there struggling for people's rights, then more power to you. Here's a little music, and then we'll hear a little bit from Lucero about what happened to her. But we can't really get to the end of it today because we don't really have time. Not the best at managing my time on this show, but we'll be coming back to it, and I'll be returning on Sunday, unless I wise up and do something better. That's going to be 9:30 in the morning when you can catch the longer version of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
Everything works out in the end. Even at General Motors. You know, I wasn't so concerned when I first heard GM was having difficulties. I mean, what is it? It's a bunch of jobs. But then it turned out they were going to cease construction of the Hummer. No. You attack the Hummer, you attack the right of every American to drive a tank. Take away my Hummer, you may reduce me eventually to driving a car. No. It's very important that they look into alternative energies. I don't know why they didn't before. You know, the writing was on the wall. when they had to sell their corporate jets. GM sold them. I think they sold them to Ford. But Ford sold theirs, too. Well, it's an important thing that happened at GM, because what they did, and it was very unfortunate, they actually gave a seat on the board to the United Auto Workers. Now, I think people should do what they're qualified for. In the case of unions, perhaps making concessions, something like this. The chief executive is really, his job is chiefly to execute the workers. The workers don't have a job. It's a sad situation that goes back many, 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 many weeks. I think they should do a wind-powered car, powered by the wind from the car in front of it. It's a kind of breath air in, sort of Ponzi car thing.
How much is that giant ship in the window? The one with the balancing scale. How much is that giant ship in the window? I do hope that giant ship's for sale. I believe all corporations were created as a prequel to the leadership of those too big to fail. And when we have alighted in the Congress and been knighted, not that we were invited, and our love is not requited, to make up for that we call ourselves Citizens United. They say dollars and democracy don't mix, one swallows the other. Guess which I'm accused of gaming the system. That's just blaming the victimizer. Cause money is speech, oh yes, lots of it. A vote is fine, but money is above it. Buying elections, you gotta love it. Money works every time and it's no crime. Not now. Don't donate to a candidate, that feet to grass. The Chamber of Commerce will redeploy your cash. Make creative use of intermediaries. Launder your cash to keep elections clean. A rising tide lifts all votes, some a little higher so they stay afloat. Every politician has his or her price. Who's to decide if that is or isn't nice? I'm an innovator, I'm on the cutting edge. If things need improving, I just buy a new legislature. A rose by any nomenclature is still a rose, it's just the rose I impose. Don't be shy with the corporate cash. Democracy's a billion-dollar bash. Though they say corporate government is fast, isn't that can't happen here. Maybe in Germany or Italy, but never here at home, where the people all have health care and the buffalo still roam. Yeah, the sky's the limit. My guy's gonna win it. Power, he'll be at its hub. To prepare for his election, he's putting in his hours at the country club. If you miss me at the voting booth, you can't find me there. Come on over to that agency, I'll be buying it there. Oh, brother, I'll be buying it there. I'll be buying it there. Come on over to the TV studio, I'll be buying it there. All you fools are my tools, I've seen to that, through substandard schools, and media that I won't mention, and I didn't, you didn't hear it, you were never here. You know, democracy is not so much about what you do, it's about what you choose on your pay-per-view. Remember, corporations are people too. A major donor is a system owner. And when we have alighted in the Congress and been knighted, not that we were invited, and our love is not requited, to make up for that we call ourselves Citizens United.
And that was Dave Lippmann, Citizens United, plus a little commentary. Now we're going to hear a little bit from actually yesterday, which was, I guess, July 20th. And it was on Pacific Avenue that I ran across Lucero Luna. And we'll hear a little bit of it now, and maybe that'll tempt you to come on back on Sunday at 9:30 to hear a little more.
We have two rangers, officers, Rangers Silas and Matthews, and Sergeant Bush here at a table in front of Williams Jewelers. Lucero is sitting on a bench. Lucero, what's been happening?
Are you the father?
the father built on the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
So what's been happening here? Give us a break. Tell us what's cooking.
Well, it's winter. It's winter. It's still sweet. I'm missing reading.
It looks like a variety of flyers and newspapers laid out on a bench near, as I said, Marini's in front of Dale Williams Jewelers. And it looks like it's a political protest.
All right, I'm going to take Honor, but if you can do what you can to help her out, maybe keep her calm.
Oh, I think...
And that was Sergeant Bush, and you're going to hear a little bit more from him. He and then two Rangers were sort of hanging about pretty close in as Lucero sort of with various literature sort of arrayed on a bench, which is illegal, by the way. So Bush had a pretext. It's ridiculous that it's illegal, but it is. You're not allowed to place your property. You can't use a bench as a display device, as they would put it. And it's... Anyway, but he was smart enough not to try to arrest her for that, because she was really trying to be arrested in the sense that she was at least trying to make a point of how repressive the police are, and of course they were then trying to frustrate her by being superficially very tolerant.
Keep her from getting any tickets. She might listen to you. I tried to talk to her earlier today and help her out and see if there's anything I could do to, you know, make her day a little better, help her out. Or
what happened yesterday?
Yesterday, I think she was sitting in front of a building and refused to sign a ticket. And so,
was she arrested twice or just once?
I think she got cited once, and the second time she went to jail.
Was she taken to the court or to jail?
First time she went to court, because it was during court hours.
Did she ask to be taken to court, or was that just a decision?
I was not here for that part of it.
But what's your understanding?
I think she just refused to sign. So when you refuse to sign during the day, you go before a judge. After hours, you go to...
Oh, good for the police department. I commend you guys on that.
Yeah.
And that's really important, not because you're going to get any justice in the courts or from the police, but if the police are going to be required to take you to a judge every time you decline to sign a citation, it could take up a lot of police time on trivial crap, which they are imposing on people based upon the whims of different businesses and or private individuals who don't want to see certain people on Pacific Avenue or in their neighborhoods, and simply use these laws to drive them away. And if people stop signing the citations, and police officers have to spend their time taking the individual to the court, and the court then, you know, they wait in the court, then they come in, and they get a hearing, and then they say, okay, you get a court date, you have to come back and plead at the court date. Or I've never heard of a court locally releasing anybody and saying, cops are wrong. Courts just don't want to do that. They have to work with the police, you see. As we see in Baltimore with the acquittal of all the murderers of Freddie Gray in the last couple of weeks, the courts are... Or the prosecutors, I think it's more the prosecutors in the case of the Baltimore situation, but both the Baltimore, the prosecutor in Baltimore courts, and in Santa Cruz, too, you have this these folks working together, and therefore they don't want to antagonize each other if they can avoid it.
So, anyhow, it's just, you know, between you and me, if you could...
Well, what would she be charged with?
Well, nothing right now. But right. Earlier, like I said earlier, she told me she was intent on getting arrested and doing some sort of crime to get herself arrested. And I would
well,
really
she's
not...
here for more than an hour. It could be a perfect opportunity.
Come on, I'm just asking. I think she's a friend of yours, trying to help her out.
She's certainly a comrade, no
she
question.
She is. She's never been a bad lady. I think the last couple of days she's been a little upset, and I'm just... I would hate to see something happen to her, and I thought maybe you could, you know... She
How long was she in jail for you?
I don't know. You might...
This is a, you know, standard attempt to dismiss a political protest as someone who's just upset. Yeah, she is upset and pissed at the laws that are driving vendors, poor people away, that are driving her away from neighborhoods because she sleeps in her RV, that are criminalizing essentially 1,500 people at night. And Sergeant Bush is, oh, well, she's a little upset today, as his way of sort of dismissing this, is arrogant, condescending, and misleading. But of course, you know, I mean, I got to tell you, I don't dislike Sergeant Bush. He's a fairly nice guy, but you know, he is a part of an organization whose objective is to enforce and justify these ordinances, among other things. And as long as that happens, and as long as they help also create these ordinances and collude with the neighbors, some of them collude very actively, like SCPD officer Ken Deeg, in trying to draw up...